Sip up weed, that's some gangery. Cock hold up, please, that you slang to me. Three homies deep in this gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery. With the whole crew in this gangery. Posted a block where I plan to be. Come to your block in this gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery. Twisting up weed, that's some gangery. Top coat of peas that you slinging me. We out here in this gangery. Don't give a fuck what you say to me. With the whole crew in this gangery. Posted up right where I plan to be. We out here in this gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery.
Hey, big part of my window. Ain't seen any sun any day, but the rain that be coming through your window. Send out, boy, you all about crowd. I say smoking on the motherfucking window. And now I'm in though, at the crib with my kinfolk. That's just how I live, no indeed, no why y'all commenting. And extend those straight to the brain. I come from the grain, out of your lane. I live in the cane, smoking despite all the rain. I'm a star at the start of my reign. With no buzz on my brain, chilling with buzz on the way. I'm killing the ceiling, my feeling is great. Rolling my feelings, I ain't never checked. Getting some honey berry action. Forget it if you ain't matching. Only the private reserve, I don't smoke for the look of the fashion. Where is the love and the passion? All you dudes are just acting. And your crews are just lacking. Kinda messy, you stay out of trash. You the type, put your girl in the backseat. I'm out here.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Let Me Know. I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today I'll be sitting with Steven Contreras. Or, as everybody knows him as, Steven J is Filthy. He's the founding member, and creator of Synchronicity. He's the LA rep for iStandards, and he sometimes fills in at a very, very popular radio show called Conscious Radio. He's also a member of the A Very Rare Shop family. Shout out to A Very Rare Shop. They allowed me to record this episode there. So yeah, I'm not going to get too much into it, but this man right here, I call him, you're going to hear him in the episode, he's a modern day Superman. He does it all, guys. Does it all. He's all over the place. He's also a manager. And on top of all that, he's a student. I appreciate you guys' support every single day. I get more plays than I thought it was, you know. I'm just happy to at least get one. You know, so far, I have listeners from Germany, Brazil, Egypt, you know, shout out to all those people over there. I don't know your names because, you know, I don't know that your names don't pop up for some reason. Just been busy with work. Nothing new, I guess. Nothing new for you guys. Just, I have nothing new in my life. I'm sorry. So, yeah, so I'm just going to get right down to the to the riddle. All right. The riddle for last week was, I shrink smaller every time I take a bath. What is it, guys? Soap. It's soap, guys. It's all good. You guys didn't get it this time, but you guys will get it next time, hopefully. Hopefully you guys answer this one. Steven's a really popular guy, so I'm hoping his homies, the people he manages, I'm hoping they participate. But before I go any further, I gotta introduce a very new sponsor. I just mentioned them. Very Rare Shop. They're a platform for creators. Their mission. At A Very Rare Shop, they focus on supporting individuals' artistic intentions. That's why they have produced a space in LA that is entirely devoted to create and express themselves. By offering free and donating base education classes to children and adults, they provide a platform for individuals to study, develop, and share their art. Through their dedication to community building and their passion for arts, they remain the community to achieving their vision and encouraging inspiring artists. So they're a nonprofit. So hopefully you guys go check them out. If you guys are interested, look them up on theveryrareshop.com. Very Rare Shop. Thank you guys for supporting and thank you guys for being a sponsor. So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, Steven J, he's actually the creator of, he's one of the creators of a big event that's thrown in Wilmington called Synchronicity. A good way to describe it is Synchronicity is an event for the community by the community. They have live musician performances by local talent. They have local business vendors, live art gallery, and local authentic food and alcohol. Yeah, this year it's gonna be on November the 5th. The address is 636 North Avalon at al cine mariscos. Al cien mariscos. Okay? So, if you guys don't forget to put it down on your calendar. November 5th. Al cien mariscos. In Avalon. You guys don't... This is an event you must attend. Guarantee you, you will not regret it. You might see me there. You might not. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. It's a prize for you. I'll be autographing the hats. So bring the hats. Yep. And then it'd be perfect if you win a hat. You know, I'll autograph the hat that I give you. How about that? All right, guys. You know, I think I talked too much for today. I'll let you guys experience the interview and I'll let you guys get to know a little bit about Stephen J. Stephen J's filthy. Ba-ba.
Think better than girls be traffic. LA, what's happening? Check from TV like I'm acting. Check from TV for my mansion. When I'm on stage, y'all better be bouncing. Twisting up beat, that's some gangery. Cop portal keys that you slang to me. Three homies deep and that's gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery. With the whole crew and that's gangery. Posted up right where I plan to be. Come through your block and that's gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery. Twisting up with that some gangery. Top coat of peas that you slangin' me. We out here and that's gangery. Don't give a fuck what you say to me. With the whole crew in this gangery. Posted up right where I plan to be. We out here and that's gangery. Gangery, gangery, gangery.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back. I hope you guys enjoy that song. Today I'm sitting here with modern day Superman, Steven Contreras. What's up, man? How are you?
How you doing, man? Steven J, thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, yeah, Steven J is filthy. You know, maybe you guys might know him as Steven J is filthy. We'll get into it a little bit later about why that, you know. But before we get into that, what's up, man? How are you?
Good, man. You know, just chilling. It's a nice Friday. We're about to get this interview in. Got a bunch of events tonight. Gonna kick it, so it's a good day. It's a good day. Got my gym session.
I think you might be somewhere in the future because today is Tuesday, man.
Oh shit. It's Tuesday.
Sorry, yeah. Man, it's okay. So yeah, man, what's up? Yeah, man, I could tell, like, you're pretty slow, you know, like compared to me, I look like one of those car dealership blow up things, the ones that swing all over the place.
I appreciate it.
I see you take care of yourself. That's good. I'm trying to take care of myself too, but hamburgers, man, they just get to me, man.
No, trust me, I love my food. That's why I work out.
Yeah, I get it, man. So I usually start out the episode by, you know, telling my listeners what my guest does, but you know, like, I found it pretty hard to label you, you know, like, because you do so many things. Like, I know you're an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
You are also a manager, right? You manage people?
Yeah. So pretty much what I do, I work for a few different people. I work, my main thing is I work for Create Digital Music Distribution. We're a distribution company that distributes music on all streaming platforms like Spotify, Pandora, Tidal, Google Play, Xbox Live, everything like that. And I'm the client experience rep for that. So right now I'm dealing with a few clients. I handle their in and outs, not so much their day to day, but it's kind of like overseeing like little things they need. Say they need like an email sent or they need something reviewed. I do stuff like that. I originally started off with Create as a intern. So I interned and I was a content coordinator. I learned like the ins and outs of music, like behind the business side. I learned about metadata. I learned about everything, about really reviewing content, giving positives, like analyzing an artist to see if they're going to benefit the company, if they're going to benefit themselves, if we can actually help them, stuff like that. So that's one aspect. That's Create Digital Music.
How do you do that though? How do you get them into just that your business does that? That's like what they do.
Yeah, we just do distribution.
Oh, okay.
And we're branching out. We're doing a little bit more stuff. We do, like I said, I got that client experience rep, and so my CEO, he does a lot. He wears so many more hats than I do. It's crazy.
So, but what do you do as a client experience rep? Like, what do you do from there?
I handle.
I don't know what that does. I'm pretty dumb.
So a client experience rep, pretty much if like an artist comes into town or whatever it is day to day, I'm like the face of the company when I go network, when okay. I do stuff like that. Obviously I'm not like the face because the owner is the face, like Pro Welton, shout out Pro. But I also represent it wherever I go, and I do like these events. So I'll be the representative at an iStandard event or at an iRide event or a music business discussion panel we have, stuff like that. I'm trying to be like that, the little go-to guy for everyone.
Yeah, I see, man. You are pretty much the little go-to guy, because I saw some of your stuff on Conscious Radio.
Yeah.
And they also, I heard your episode, like the episode that got, they interviewed you. Mm-hmm. They mentioned that too, and I kind of heard it. I was like, man, you do a lot, man. Like,
yeah.
I don't know how you do it, bro. I really don't know.
So I also, like you said, you mentioned Conscious Radio. So I'm also the social media manager for Conscious Radio, but I do a little bit more. I do like the bookings. I record all the interviews. I listen to all the submissions. If you're trying to get on a radio show, email ConsciousRadio1@gmail.com. Listen to some music submissions.
All right, hold on. Let me do that right now.
So shoot me anyone. I listen to everything. So I do that. And then I'm part of Create Digital Music, a little branch off. I'm the LA rep for iStandard. Again, I work for Create, but I do the representing for iStandard and iRiot and stuff like that. So I'm always going to be at those events. And then where we're at now, today we are at a Very Rare Shop. Shout out to Rare House. Shout out to Very Rare Shop, Jam, Marco, C. So I'm on the board of directors for A Very Rare Shop. Rare House. We are a nonprofit organization. What our goal is to pretty much do free classes, free lessons, free education, whether it's music production, whether it's editing, whether it's yoga, whether it's like straight educational classes, anything for people who are just like the less fortunate per se. But we also throw dope ass parties. Hands down, we throw art shows, just crazy live art, live music. Like, it's super dope here in LA. Like,
where can I sign up for those classes? You know, I know we're gonna get into it at the end, but you know, I want to know, because I need help with my editing, bro. Like, trust me.
So we got a bunch of people. So we're in the process of setting up all the classes. So we actually just moved into this spot, A Very Rare Shop, probably about three months ago. So we're still getting established. We're building a studio here. We're gonna get a whole green room setup area. Everything. There's gonna be VR stuff. So it's pretty tight. We have a really big vision.
Yeah, man. I could see your vision. Like, this is a nice sized place.
Yeah.
Pretty big. And you have a lot of room. So
exactly.
You're able to work with, you know, different, like, you're able to do a lot of different things. Like you said, like, this one could be like the yoga spot, or, you know, like the green room, because you got, you know, this is the Egyptian
room. This is the Egyptian room, straight up. Yeah.
So, I mean, I see, like, I could see. Obviously, we don't have the same vision, but I can kind of see, like, the potential that this room has, you know? I saw the other couple rooms, and, you know, I like them. They're nice. They're nice size rooms.
You see all the dope room. The dope artwork all along the room. Burke visuals,
you guys did
a bunch
all
of people. Yeah, all of the people involved in our collective. We let them throw up their art wherever they want. And it's dope. They definitely haven't let us down yet at all.
It's nice. Even the outside, like, I saw that artwork too. Like, that's just tight.
Yeah.
Oh, you could cuss, as you could tell. You could say anything you want.
Okay.
You could get racist, but not too racist.
Nah. Okay? I'm not about to get racist.
And remember, guys, if he does get racist, don't send the emails to me. If he says anything, don't send them to me. You know, he has his own.
Don't at me.
Don't at me. That's not my business. You know, my business is my thing is just getting you the info, and that's it. You know, whatever happens after that, that's Steven's job. You know, let him take care of that. You know, but yeah, man. Like I said, you do a lot. You know, like, so what? Maybe I didn't hear, but who are some people that you manage? You know, like, who are some artists that you?
I originally got into this music scene because I started managing a local artist from Wilmington. I don't manage him anymore, but right now I currently help out and co-manage my buddy Freddie. Shout out to Freddie Vasquez. Freddie Don't Do It. I also help manage Noah James out of the Inland Empire. I do a little bit of stuff with them, working mainly with his manager. Just trying to get more traffic for him out here in LA. Nothing too serious.
So what do you do for them, though?
Like, for Freddie, it's anything from being there, like A&Ring stuff at his studio sessions. He's had a lot of writing sessions with Atlantic Records.
Oh, wow.
So I'll be there with him at Atlantic Records, helping them out, kind of doing that creative direction, booking him shows. Excuse me.
monster is making me burp.
Booking him shows and just reviewing content. Like, he shot me just in the past few days, he shot me like 4 different tracks he was working on. I gave him solid feedback. Said, yo, I don't think this is a song you should really go with. Kind of just like put it to the side. Or, yo, this record's super hot. Like, we're going to go pitch this to someone. Stuff like that. And it just helped with, like, not really, I didn't want to manage his social media because he's really good at it, but kind of just like, yo, like, do this or do that or try check this person out and stuff like that.
Yeah. So where did you get, like, all this, like, information? Because you seem very knowledgeable about, like, how to, like, brand yourself. Like, where did you learn how to do all this?
Just doing it. Like, yeah. like I go to school. I go to Cerritos College. So I've been in school for a minute. I study business administration with a focus on commercial music. So I've taken, like, the business of music class. I've taken music entrepreneurship, of course, all my regular marketing classes, managing classes, accounting, everything like that. Like I realized that if I was an artist, I wouldn't let someone who didn't have a degree manage me. So I was like, all right, fuck it. Like, go to school, get your shit done, and then go out into the real world. And then it also just came out to getting out and networking myself, like meeting people. Like, dude, when I first started, I was literally going out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday every night to some event, wherever it was, whether it was, shit, I think I went to like San Clemente for one. I've been all the way up to Santa Clarita area, the Inland Empire, Los Angeles, like everywhere, no matter what it was, art shows, big concerts. Like, yeah. I did it solid straight for like 6 months. Wow. Every night. Dude, I lost so much sleep. I lost a lot of friends. Like, but at that time, a lot of people didn't see the vision because I was just starting off. Like, I had no connections into this music game at all. I didn't know a single person. So, like I said, I started off with an internship with Create Digital. He came to my class, bro, and he was like, yo, at the end of the class, like, he gave his whole presentation, just spoke to us on the game. And he was like, oh, I'm actually looking for an intern. Like, shoot me your resume, whatever. Before he even left the classroom, I had a full email drafted up, sent him my resume, told him who I was, be like, hey, I'm from the class you just spoke at, like, I'd love to get a chance to interview with you. I didn't know this, but like 5 minutes after he officially left, read the email, he called my professor of my class, was like, yo, tell me about this Steven kid. Like, he already sent me an email. And my professor was like, well, that should tell you enough right there. Like, this kid wants it.
Yeah.
And so Pro, he literally taught me everything that I know when it comes to, like, the business side. Like, the ins and outs, even with, like, really looking at who you work with. So there was a time that I was offered another internship, or to apply for another internship. Like, they approached me. And Pro, he always told me from the get-go, like, I'm not going to stop you from moving on to doing bigger things. Like, this isn't, like, your end goal. Like, I know that. But so I was like, hey, I might apply for this. Like, what do you think? He was like, do your own research. Like, look up, Google the person's name, really think about it. I Googled the name and saw a bunch of bad articles, a bunch of bad write-ups, reviews, just, like, about how people do business.
Yeah.
And then I realized, like, if, say, I join that team, people are going to be like, oh, fuck, he works with blah, 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 blah. Like, that's how he does business. And I didn't want to just do that because I feel like I'm going to have this career for a long time.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to do anything to I guess, like, not alter. I'm at loss of words right now, but yeah, change who I am.
Yeah.
Even for, like, a level up.
Mm, yeah. I can't say I've ever had those predicaments in my life. But I see how that'd be, you know, pretty, like, hard, you know, a decision that you do have to make. Like, when you're placed with the good opportunity in front of you, like, you want to take it, but you gotta really think about it and process it. Like, is this really what I want to do?
Because, yeah, because
it's gonna affect you long term, you
your
know?
Image 100%. And people are gonna be like, oh, you fuck with this person, or you fuck with this group. And, like, obviously you never really want to take sides, but sometimes you just gotta be like, oh, you know what, I'm gonna pull back a little bit. Or
I could see that might be a hard thing, because, like, just doing some research about you, like, you're very, like, you already know the next step, what you want to do. Like, you already have a, like, what you do, you already know where you want to be a little bit. You already see the end goal. Like, you know, you want you're already on the next step. Like, how are you going to get there, right?
Yeah, 100%.
So I feel like, man, I'd be like, you already want to get there. You see, like, oh, man, this is a great opportunity. That's going to help me, like, just launch myself, be there at the next spot. But sometimes you just got to hold down a little bit. Like, you know what? Like,
yeah, that's
let me
exactly.
slow down. Like, let me really see the big picture. Like, right now, I'm trying to, like, I'm going to 100, you know? But let me go at 25 so I can see, like, the big image. Like, is this really what I want? But why aren't you, like, an artist yourself? Because, I mean, you have the drive, obviously.
Dude, I don't have any, like, I have a really good ear for music. I can't make music. I don't write. Like, I'm a creative in my own way. Uh-huh. Like, I'm a creative, like, I don't know. At the end of the day, like you said, I'm a businessman. I'm an entrepreneur. Uh-huh. I do stuff like that. I have a really good creative ear, creative eye. Know a lot about branding, know a lot about collaboration. It's just like artistry wasn't really my calling. Like, some people are just meant to be artists, and I see that every day. And some people are just meant to be those fucking, like, quote unquote, like, shot callers and just direct people, be that puppeteer. And like, that's eventually what I want to do. Like, yeah. I want to be the man behind the scenes calling all the shots.
Or you could just be like me, just fake it, you know, pretend you know what the fuck you're doing, and just.
So, no, that's
I'm a good liar.
Dude, that's a really good point that you made. And I tell this to a lot of people, and don't take this the wrong way. I'm not, like, saying any shots, but my cousin, he's a politician, and he was the first person who introduced me to networking. Uh-huh. And he was like, one thing you never do is
talk bad about yourself.
No, it's like fake it till you make it. Like, don't fake it, because people will be able to really filter and see through that. Yeah. Like, you can't pretend like you're something bigger than you are. People will call your bullshit, hands down, and then those people will talk to other people who are already high up in the game, and they'll be like, nah, fuck that fool.
Yeah, I'm just being modest.
No, like I said, it wasn't anything against you, but that's like, I feel like that's a really good point that I just want to say, like, like, put your head down, grind it out, and then people will recognize your hustle.
I could honestly say you're kind of like, I envision myself being where you're at right now, because you're doing a lot. Like you told me, man, I see you, man. I see you too.
Yeah, no,
like, that's why I got you. Like, I got you on the podcast, because, like, we're pretty much like, you told me, like, oh, yeah, you said, thank you, by the way, thank you for reposting and sharing. Like a simple act like that, it might seem like nothing, but, you know, it means a lot to, like, up and coming artists. Yeah, like, as you can tell, you know, you can tell, because you do manage people, like, you know, the little, like, it might be insignificant, but to me it was like, oh shit,
dude, it's showing love, and you gotta show people, and especially people who are hustling, grinding it out, like you said, like you even said, you're like, I'm just fucking doing it, man. I want to do this shit, so you're just doing it, so fuck yeah, dude. Like, I'm gonna support you however I can. Like,
but how do you stay humble, man? Because I would, if I was at your shoes, I'd be like, I would,
man,
have
I'm still ain't shit.
Yeah, that's how I feel too.
I ain't never gonna be shit, and so that's the mentality that I keep. Like, I can know whoever the fuck, like, I know big time producers. I've met and talked with big time managers, and it doesn't matter, because, like, at the end of the day, like, no one has to fuck with you. So it just comes down to being a good person. And like you said, if you get a big head or you get this fake clout, like, no one's gonna wanna fuck with you in the end of the day. Like, either way, like just stay true, stay humble, and realize there's always someone, like, two steps in front of you. Like, you're never gonna be that guy, because there's always gonna be someone who works harder than you or has a better connection or whatever. So just do what you do and get really fucking good at it, and then everyone else will be like, yo, you're the fucking goat, like, you're the man, or like, whatever. And like, that's how I do it.
Does it feel weird, like, people saying nice things, like, good things, like, to
dude, it's really fucking tight, because you constantly feel like no one's seeing the shit you're doing. And like, I was just talking to Rock from SoCal Radio yesterday, and like, Reverie was a pretty big artist that we had on our show, and she's got like 101,000 followers. Shout out Reverie, super dope person, super dope artist. Like, go check her out if you don't know who she is. And I was like, Rock, dude, that's dope. Like, that's big for a little online radio show. Like, that's what the fuck is up. Like, salute yourself. I was like, thanks. No one even, like, everyone just thought it was dope. Like, I had the connection, and it was kind of like, we shot our shot and we fucking landed it. So. Yeah. So
sometimes just, you know, just stuff works out.
Giving, shining a little light on you, just to show some love, I was peeping your Instagram bio, and it says host of a Dig in the Box. So I was like, what the fuck is that? Like, I want to know what this is, because do you know they're called like Lonely Island.
Yeah. The song with Justin
Timberlake. Yeah. I was like, hey, that's fucking tight.
Well, it came, like, the name came from, like, me. Like, some people think that I'm the nicest person, but I could be a dick. I have a dick side to me, and it comes out a lot of the time, you know. But people really don't see it. And dick in a box, the box came from the room, your phone, your computer, wherever you're listening to me.
Yeah.
So I'm the dick, and I'm in the box.
Okay, I fuck with that. Yeah, I fuck with that.
And then originally, like, that podcast was supposed to be me and my friend, and I was supposed to interview people.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be like improv, like where I'm the dick and I have a person or like my guest, and we're asking them questions, but I'm throwing shots, like I'm fucking being salty, you know.
Yo, like so like, have you heard of the restaurant Dicks?
No.
There used to be one in San Diego, but like the whole theme of the restaurant is like the Raiders are just fucking rude. They're assholes. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yo, no, I see it's that. It's a marketing thing. Like, I like that. I like that a lot.
So that was the goal. Like, my co-host was supposed to be the person calming me down, and I was supposed to go off on my guest, you know?
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it didn't work out that way. Like I was the straight man and the silly guy at the same time.
Oh, okay.
And my friend was just the production part of it, you know? Yeah. And then at the end of the day, we had to split ways because it was taking too much time. He does EDM, and he's on a band, Biggest Culture.
Okay.
So, I mean, the podcast is taking way too much time of out of his passion. So, you know, we just decided to break it off. And obviously, my vision was a two-man thing.
Yeah.
So I had to cut it, you know.
This is completely side note, but it still has to do with Dick in the Box. Marcos from Rare House, if you interviewed Marcos and Jam, you could totally do that Dick in the Box thing.
Yeah.
And they'd be throwing it right back at you. That'd be one funny fucking show, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. Because now, like, a lot of people, that they're like, they pretty much shine light on them. Like, man, I don't see you being a dick. So it has to be, you have to really be like, I tried it once, and then you really have to be in character. Like,
yeah,
like my nice side sometimes takes over. Like, fuck, like what gets to me is I'm having people, like my guests come, they're spending an hour and a half of their day, they're taking time, like they could be doing something else, and I just feel bad. Like,
well, no, it's out of good character. Like, look at Wildin' Out.
Yeah.
They do that shit all the time. They'll bring people on and they just get shots thrown at them the entire time. But if you're a good sport about it too, and let people fucking fuck around back, like, yo, that's gonna make for a perfect show. Like, that's what's up. But you should definitely consider doing that.
And then also, like, I was having a hard time getting guests because of the name. Because the dick in the box, they're like, you know, they're like, oh, well, what's that about? Like, I would explain it to them and they still wouldn't want to come. So. Yeah. So you know what? I'm gonna do my solo thing. Let me know my last name. Boom. And then no, because I ask a bunch, I'm a nosy fucker, so I ask a bunch of questions. I wonder a lot, pretty much. Like, I wonder what I could be doing and what should I be doing. So I have people, like my guests, pretty much come on and shine a little light on what they do. Hopefully, like, I get an idea what the fuck I want to do in my life, because I still don't know.
Yeah.
Like, I want to get into radio, but I don't know. Like, too much work. I'm too fucking lazy.
Nah, dude, that's the thing. In entertainment, it's a constant grind.
Yeah.
And it's not meant for the weak at all.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna be people that constantly tell you no, constantly tell you, oh, fucking don't even try. Like, like I was in a studio session with an A&R, and he was like, don't do music. He's like, this shit's too hard. He's like, are you trying to make a living? He was like, are you doing this for art? That's how I'm doing it, because like, I love it. He's like, don't do music, go get a real job. And I was like, fuck, how are you gonna shoot someone's like dreams down like that?
Well, so maybe they're just bitter because they haven't done shit with themselves sometimes. Or maybe they don't want competition.
It was a pretty big A&R, so no.
Maybe they don't want competition. He's maybe he's intimidated by you. He sees the potential. You'd rather just shut it down before you even get, you know, too big.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, I'm trying to help you. Fuck that. Whoever you are. But if never mind, because maybe we'll work together. So you didn't say names. So
nah, I don't say names.
But still, fuck that guy. Hopefully, he doesn't know that you're talking about him either.
Nah, he won't.
You mentioned a little bit in the that you're trying to put your hands, like, you're trying to put, like, throw your hat in, like, pretty much everywhere on the entertainment industry, right? Like,
so I was talking to an executive one time, and because eventually what I want to do is I want to either like work as an executive for a label or work for a PR company or something like that. And they're like, the best thing you can do is build your resume so that you can do anything and be a fucking boss at it. So I was like, oh shit, all right, I got the managing game, like not great down, but I understand it. I studied it. I've done it myself. Like mobile marketing, that was the next thing that I really wanted to get good at. That's how I got like the social media manager for Conscious Radio. I got into radio, like interviewing, booking people, dealing with that, dealing with artists as managers even more now than I did as my own manager. I got into throwing my own events. I threw Synchronicity over in Wilmington. I got in with Rare House, but Rare House was more of a passion more than anything. Like I just saw what they were doing. I was like, yo, this is fucking tight. Like I wanna fuck with them. And now, honestly, they're some of my like best friends. Like I talked to these three more than I talked to anyone else besides my girlfriend.
Yeah. Shout out Linda. What's the story behind Rare House? Like, how did you guys come together?
So Rare House started with Jam and C. And they started just throwing events. They're from Ohio. So they started throwing events in Ohio, and they had like huge events. And they came out here, and then they started throwing crazy events. But I saw what they were doing when I got into this music scene, because they actually have like a pretty big clout. Like their impressions on Twitter like easily hit a million sometimes. Wow. And so it's just like people see what the fuck we're doing.
Yeah.
So I saw that, and then they did a fundraiser for Standing Rock. With the North Dakota Pipeline. Mm-hmm. I was like, that's fucking tight. Like, they were donating all of it, and they threw a pretty big show. Like, they had a big artist there. And I was like, yo, like, I want to help out. Like, I just want to volunteer. Like, I'll do whatever the fuck you need. Like, I'll be there early. I'll stay as long as I can.
Yeah.
And just, like, let me just put in work for you guys. I'm like, all right, tight. Like, come on down. And so I volunteered with them, met everyone. And then the next time, I was like, yo, like, I'll volunteer again.
Yeah.
And then they just started to become friends instead of like people who I wanted to work with.
Yeah.
And so then of course they saw, like, because they pay attention to everything. Like if people think Rare House doesn't see them, Rare House sees everything. We look at everything, we analyze everything. Like their minds creatively on a business standpoint is just off the charts. So they saw what I was doing in the music, and they're like, yo, like come to this meeting, come to this like Rare House meeting. Like, all right. So I came to the meeting, and then I started throwing my ideas in there, and then I dedicated more, and I showed them that I was here because of a passion, not because I'm trying to like jump off and do something else.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people who come to Rare House and they try to use it as like a stepping stone. And that's not what Rare House is. Like, dude, we're a nonprofit organization. Like, yeah. you're not about to make mad dough. You're not about to get mad clout. You're not about to hop on the stage every time. So like, you do it because it's a passion. And so, that's what it is. Yeah.
So all that money that you guys get from shows, do you guys just let all that money just donate it to the certain organizations?
For Standing Rock, yeah. They donated all of it. Right now, all of our events are fundraisers because, like I said, we're trying to build this studio. We're trying to make these classrooms. We're trying to get the green room. And like I said, everything is just, it's going to be a community building. Like, we're registered as an art gallery. And that's what we are. Like, we have art shows all the time. Like, look at all of our pictures on Twitter. Like, everything's right there. Our entire resume for Rare House. So yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that's cool. Like, how does one get into that though? Like, the nonprofit. How do you guys get, like, what do you guys have to do? Like, what are some requirements or something? Like, can you give some people that might wonder? Like, I wonder, like, how can I get into a nonprofit?
That's definitely a question for Jam and C. Okay. Like, I know about just from my business standpoint and my business background, like how to apply and how to be a 501c3. Like, I know how to do that.
Okay.
But when it comes directly to Rare House, I would definitely rather have you guys have you interview them.
Okay.
Because they're full of knowledge. They're full of just like, and they're passionate. So I'd rather have that interview and that question be answered through them.
Yeah, I'll make that happen eventually. Yeah. Hopefully.
We'll get them on. And if anyone is curious about Rare House, on all of our social medias, on Twitter, on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram, it's at A Very Rare Shop. Look it up, follow them, like, and come out to an event. Definitely. We're going to have a lot of events. We're going to have a fun day, big concert outside, skate competition, art gallery. Like, we're going to have everything. And a big stage outside. So yeah.
What kind of music do you guys usually put on? Like, all over?
Whatever anything? The fuck we like. Yeah. Yeah, we got hip hop, we have trap, we have fucking punk rock. We have, like, dude, anything and everything that we like, we put on. Because, that, like, as in, like, we have a lot of artists who fuck with us.
Yeah.
So as an artist, you appreciate art, hands down. That's what it is. Even if it's not your genre of music. If you're a rapper and you come here and you see a super dope punk band or like a screamo band, you're like, fuck, these people are tight. Like, no matter what, like, yeah. Even though it's not my music, like, they're bad as fuck. Like, that's what's up.
Yeah.
So that's another.
What's that saying? Like, talent appreciates talent. Or
real recognizes real.
There you go. Like, you know, yeah. Real talent recognizes real talent.
Exactly.
Boom. I fixed it. Yeah. Right. So how important is it to manifest your goals? Because I know like you're very goal orientated, right?
Yeah. So manifestation is a huge thing for me. It comes down to just like speaking things into existence. Like you said, you see a goal, and for me, I'm just gonna do it. Like I don't know how I'm gonna do it, but I'm fucking figure my way out. Just like, here's an example, just the music thing. Like, I didn't know anyone, and I decided, like, fuck it, I'm gonna do it. And I'm not doing it yet because I still ain't shit.
Nah, you're something, man. Like, I guess I do the same thing as you, is I put myself down a lot. Like, I guess, I mean, I don't know how to put it, but you're something. Like, to me, you're somebody. Obviously, that's why I have you on, because I see what you're doing, and I see that you're out there, and you're not just doing it for yourself. You're trying to do something for the community, other artists. You're trying to help other people, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate that.
I see
Thank
that,
you.
Man. Like, I mean, I hope that's where you saw me when you said
nah.
It, you know?
Like, yeah, I see you out here doing your thing, dude. Again, yeah. Like I see you working.
I'm a little grain of freaking sand, you know, in this big, big Marvel of ours, you know? I'm just trying to do my part, help others. Like, that's all I want. Like, really, fame, fortune, fuck, it'd be nice. But all I want to do, I'm not going to say no. But, you know, like, my end goal, I just want to be, like, I want to say at the end of my life that I helped somebody. At least one person. As long as if I help one person, like, do something with their lives, or, like, I inspire them to make their own podcast because they feel like they could do a better job than I do. Hey, you know, that's another one person that pretty much saw their goal or their manifested something. You know, like their vision, or like, I don't know, their talent. They put their talent out there, and like, cause I mean, to me, it's a shame having being so talented and just not sharing it with the world. You know?
No, yeah, I feel you on that, definitely. Yeah,
but sorry, I mean, I do this a lot. I'm sorry for cutting you off. You're good, about manifesting your visions, right?
It's literally about calling your shot and then fucking taking it and doing it.
So how do you do that though? How do you, like, what's in you that, like, you know, like, you put everything aside and you, like, you just go for it? Like, because not a lot of people do that, to tell you the truth.
I say a lot of it comes to the fact that I've literally danced toe-to-toe with death. And I realize fucking life can be taken from you in an instant, no matter what you're doing. So there's no point in staying in or being like, oh, I can't do this, or oh, this is too hard. Like, just fucking do it, because life is precious, and because that shit can be taken from you and like snap.
Can you tell us what happened?
Yeah, so at 16 years old, I was diagnosed with Ewing sarcoma, which is a bone tumor cancer. And it was in my left ankle, and it was pretty aggressive. Only 2% of all cancer patients get this type of cancer. And it's pretty crazy because it is either local for 6 months, or after that 6 months, it's everywhere in your body and you're pretty much terminal. It was crazy because the doctor said that we caught it 3 weeks. Yeah, I think like 3 weeks, or like a little bit like a month before it would have been everywhere and it would have been terminal. So that thing was just fucking aggressive. Like, I went within like in one day when I found out, I had like a bone scan, a CAT scan, an MRI, blood work, x-rays, a biopsy on my ankle. All within like 4 hours. Like, it was just boom, 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 boom. Fuck. And so, and then within like, they're like, oh, we're gonna call you in like 7 days. We're gonna call you in a week. Like, don't worry about it. They called me the very next day. And they're like, yup, you gotta come in, bro. Like, you gotta get this shit taken care of. So, I went through a total of 14 rounds of chemotherapy. But after my initial four, I was faced with the option of having a traditional surgery, which would probably scrape only like 80% of my tumor, and so it was just the likeliness of it coming back was crazy high.
Yeah.
Or getting a below the knee amputation. So I was like, damn, like, what the fuck am I gonna do? And so I look up amputee athletes on my phone, and you see the Paralympics, you see all these people doing fucking Ironmans and all this shit. I was like, fuck it, like, if they can do it, I can do it better.
Yeah.
And so I was like, yo, let's do the amputation. Let's get this shit off. And so after four rounds of chemotherapy, I had my left leg below the knee amputated, and just never looked back. I've been cancer free since 2010. Yeah. Shout out all the amazing doctors at UCLA Medical. They're the goats. Ow. And then
You were pretty active in high school though, right?
Yes, yes. Like,
I know you went back, right? You went back. You mentioned that Unconscious Radio. I heard you went back to play football. Like, how hard, man?
Yeah. So I made a comeback. I actually didn't miss a single season. So my sophomore year is when I got diagnosed. When I had everything happen, I played the very last game of my junior year on the football team. We were in like the playoffs. I was able to play that game, and then I made like a complete comeback in my senior year. And it was just because everyone told me I fucking couldn't do it. Straight up, doctors were like, "Oh, you're probably never gonna play football again. You're barely gonna be able to walk. Like, you won't be able to run." Like, bunch of shit like that. And it's crazy because, so I call him my uncle, but he's my cousin's uncle. And he's like, "Nah, you can do whatever the fuck you want." He's like, "Just do it." And my parents were like, "Nah, chill, like, you don't have to." My dad has always been supportive. My mom's supportive too. But she was more of like, "Take your time, like, you just battled death, like, yeah, fucking chill, bro." And I was like, "Nah, I'm gonna do this." And so I made my comeback, and it was just honestly because people said I couldn't. And I love football, I love sports. Like, it was my entire life. I played sports since I was 3 and a half. I think my dad put me in t-ball at 3 and a half.
What sports were you playing in high school? How does that work, playing football? Like, you have a, what's it called?
A prosthetic,
like, so you have to get a special, like,
so yeah, so there's a thing called a cheetah leg, which is meant specifically for running. So I was lucky, I got a grant. I applied to Challenge Athletes Foundation, and I made my case for a prosthetic leg, and they granted me this $25,000 running leg. And so I was able to do that. But to even play in the games, I had to go through another step, and I had to pad my entire leg. So not only was I dealing with this fucking prosthetic leg, but I had to put a bunch of padding around it so that I didn't hurt any of the other players.
Is it the one that looks kind of like a crowbar?
A crowbar. It's the one that looks like a J.
Yeah, a crowbar, right? Like,
yeah. Oh, like, yes. Yeah. Okay. 100%.
Yeah. So, I mean, are you stunned? I mean, you go to the gym, right? Do you play sports still?
I don't have time, bro. I barely have time for the gym now. Okay. I was, like, right after high school, I went to University of Colorado, played some rugby out there. But when I came back, when it comes to, like, straight athletics, I dabbled in, like, touch rugby and stuff like that. But nothing full-time. Like, when you work and when you do everything else and life catches up on you, like, playing sports, playing softball, playing whatever, it's just not a priority to me.
Yeah.
I mainly work out. I hike a lot. When I have time, I hike.
Use a special, like, forgot the word.
Prosthetic.
No, like, just, you have a regular, like, for every day?
Yeah, and so I have a regular walking leg. I have actually two regular walking legs. Okay. I have a movie leg. Yeah, I did background acting for like a year and a half, and I got a lot of amputee roles, like soldiers or fucking whatever. And so there's one that looks like super robotic. Because that's when I take the set. Yeah, just literally just the pipe. Like, literally, like a typical, if you think of a prosthetic leg, like, that's what it is.
Okay.
So I have that, and then I have my cheetah leg, which is for, like, if I want to fucking go do sprints or whatever. It's crazy because everyone assumed, like, oh, you got your leg cut off. Like, you're going to overcome this challenge of running. And I fucking hated running when I had two legs. Still don't fucking like running now.
Yeah.
And so, I have that, and then I also have another jogging leg, which I got like a long time ago. It was through my insurance. I was completely blessed. Like, so I was 16, and we made this case. Like, no, every 16-year-old, like, he's active. Like walking isn't just a normal everyday thing. Like, you have to be active. So the insurance agreed, and they gave me this jogging leg. And so I have that too. But mainly every day, I just have a normal walking leg that's just fucking really strong. I've broken at least 8.
Wow.
Yeah, just from being everything. Like, I've broken 3 playing basketball, just fucking around. I've broken.
How do you break them? Like, are they hydraulic? They have the, like,
no, they're straight carbon fiber. Okay. Like carbon fiber, but like,
how do you break carbon fiber? Is this supposed to be like pretty strong?
it's very strong, but I snapped the shit out of them.
Damn.
So I'd like go up for a layup, and I'd come down on my left leg, like, which is weight? Yep, and it's a crack right in the middle. Yeah, exactly.
How expensive do they run? Like,
dude, if I didn't have insurance, bro, I would be not nearly as active just because, dude, 1 foot. I'm not talking about the socket or the pipe or anything. Uh-huh. Like, 1 foot easily can cost you, like, $4,000.
Fuck.
Yeah.
So, how hard was it, like, to adapt? I mean, like, you went from having 2 working legs to just 1. You know, I'm sure, I mean, 1.5, I guess.
I definitely got 1 leg. What it was is... I wanted to get back into football. That's what it came down to. So I got my first prosthetic leg. Typically, people will stay in like crutches for like 6 months, typically. So I used crutches for 1 day, and my dad was talking to me, and I forget his exact words, but it was like, he was like, if you want to get back, you have to push yourself. So what I did is I came home. It was like 3 p.m. With both crutches. Then as soon as that conversation was over, I just was determined to use 1 crutch. So I used one crutch the first day, and then the second day I also used one crutch, and then the third day I said, fuck it, like I'm gonna fucking walk.
We're just hopping around or what?
Well, no, I have a charge. So you have a prosthetic. Oh, okay. At this time. So okay. But it's still painful, like like you've never actually worn one, your stump's not used to it, like it's painful. It's like every day I deal with pain, like, every still? day. Yeah, it's just always gonna be there. So I have a super high pain tolerance, but it's still always there. Wake up, go to sleep. Like, the only time I don't feel pain is when I go to sleep. But the third day I said, fuck it, I'm gonna just go through it. And that was it. Like, I didn't do a single day of physical therapy. Wow. Because
it, like, sports was that, it wasn't like,
dude, no, it was just me fucking doing it, bro. Like granted, I guarantee, like, I probably wasn't doing it the right way at first. But I didn't care because I was that much closer to accomplishing my goal of getting back on the football field.
Yeah. Wow, man. See, I'm telling you, like, that's inspiration right there. Like, how hard is it for you, like, when people are, like, giving you excuses, like, oh, I don't want to do this because I have a cold. But, like, they're like, what the fuck? I'm missing a leg. If I could do it, you could do it.
I fucking hate people who use excuses, but I always say this, like, everyone goes through their own battles. Yeah. Everyone. Like, I lost a leg, and granted, that shit was hard, but I fucking overcame it. Yeah. Maybe if I lost an arm, I'd have been, fuck, my life is over, like, fuck the world, fuck everything, like, I'm just gonna fucking chill at home.
Yeah.
So, stuff like that, like, everyone has their own battles. You can't fucking judge someone because they're going through something, but, no, I definitely get tired of the people who fucking make excuses, because there's a lot of people who make just, like, quote-unquote fuckboy excuses, and are the words of my homie, just hoe-ass shit.
No.
And so, the you just fucking deal with it, and then people see that not making excuses for yourself gets you somewhere.
Yeah.
So hopefully I just try to lead by example. That's mainly a lot of it.
So out of high school, you mentioned you were still playing sports, right? Like, you went to college and played, what you said, rugby?
Yeah, I played a little bit of rugby. Yeah.
So I mean, also, like, I heard that you hooked up with, like, the Olympic, like the Paralympics.
So right? Yeah, like, when I got through everything, everyone around me, like, oh, you're going to do Paralympics and stuff? So I thought about it, and I actually made the B team of the USA Paralympic powerlifting team. Mm-hmm. So I made that, and I traveled to, like, Oklahoma. I've traveled to Texas to compete in it. But it just wasn't, like, honestly, I ruptured my left shoulder rotator cuff. Shit. So after that, I was just never strong enough to do it. Like, I have a pretty big chest just from, like, past years of working out and stuff. So people are like, oh, how much, like, weight do you put up? You put, like, 3 plates. I'm like, nah, bro. I fuck around with 135, 185, and I just keep it at that.
I do 35 if you want it now. So you got me beat.
Yeah, you got to start somewhere. So I did that, and then I cut my losses and was like, I'm just going to focus on the music. So, yeah.
Do you get back to the Paralympics? Or, I mean, to the... Man, I'm telling you, man.
No, so...
Like, what are they calling
it? No, yeah, it's called Paralympics.
Okay, to the teams, like, do you help them out? Like, do you do anything for them?
So the hub of the powerlifting team is over in Oklahoma.
Okay.
It's at the University of Central Oklahoma. And so that's the hub. So I can't really, like, yeah, I'm burping a lot.
That gas. It's a monster.
Yeah, it's just a monster. So I can't really give back and, like, volunteer, but I definitely still volunteer a lot with the foundation called Challenged Athletes, CAF, right. The one who gave me my prosthetic leg. So I'll go out there and I'll donate time when they do like their clinics, like they're running clinics, they're walking clinics or swimming clinics. Like I'm either practicing or I'm not practicing, but I'm like participating, or I'm one of the people helping, like just like a regular volunteer helping the people who are struggling, whatever it is.
Do you represent, or have you tried representing like a sports athlete or like somebody like that? From
I definitely you're talking about like just in a career wise in yeah. general, I definitely wouldn't be opposed to it. Going into the sports entertainment thing is crazy. So actually yesterday I just came across a like an Instagram post from a pretty well-known sports agent. And it's a conference about sports entertainment, like everything from the management to the Fox, like sporting network and everything. I was like, fuck it, why not? Like, go learn, again, just something to add to the resume, but it's something I definitely would be super down for, 100%.
So you're going to do it, or you're still you're working out the schedule?
Yeah, I'm working out the schedule right now. Okay. Once I finish school and I don't have to, like, go to school, yeah. that's when I'll be like, all right, I'm going to dabble in this, I'm going to dabble in that, and I'm just going to expand my wings, yeah. fly. I'm a peacock. You gotta yeah. let me fly.
Yeah. I feel you already know the next question about your leg, right?
Okay, what's up?
The phantom leg.
Pretty much
the
oh, okay, tickle, yeah.
Like, you still, you know, like, does that happen to you? Okay, how does it, okay, I don't even know. I want to know how it feels. Like,
okay, so phantom limb pains are pretty crazy. They are just random, completely random pains that don't have any aura of when they're gonna come. They just fucking come, and it's either extremely excruciating, or it's just like, oh shit, like that fucking hurt. And for me, I was very blessed because a lot of that comes from whatever trauma you've had endure to the missing limb. Like you fucking broke your ankle or whatever it may be. Like that's the kind of pain that it comes through. So I didn't break my ankle. I've never broken a single bone to this day. I've just had them cut off. And so the phantom limb pains for me, a majority of the time, is just like tickling. Like it's just like 30 second bursts of like someone tickling my foot that just seems like it's never gonna end. Sometimes I'll have like pain, like it feels like what I would imagine a knife being stabbed through my ankle, but it's just quick. It's just like da, and then that's it. I'm like, oh shit, okay. Or it's like a shock, but nothing pretty crazy. But they happen. They do happen. And most of the time, they happen when like I'm just chilling.
So is it like muscle memory? Like it remembers where that leg was,
so,
and then you're able to feel it?
So what it is the nerves are literally just cut off. Like you don't get nerves taken out of you. Like they don't kill the nerves. Like there's a way to kill nerves, but then that is like taking depression pill. It's crazy. Like okay. it's another world for that. But so the nerves are still there. Like if I pretend to wiggle my toes, like I still get the feeling like I'm fucking wiggling my toes. So like that, it's just because of that.
Yeah. I don't know how you do it, man. I don't have the willpower pretty much.
Dude, it comes down to just doing it. Yeah. Just dealing with it. Yeah. Getting through the suck.
I mean, especially like from a sports background, like I love sports. I love to be active, but you know, I love soccer. I imagine like it'd be pretty hard to play soccer. I suck as it is. Both of my legs. Like yeah. I can only imagine like with prosthetic.
Well, I'm not. No means was it easy at all. Like there was plenty of practices that I would have to go to the sidelines and fucking literally dump out a bunch of blood and sweat and then just fucking put it back on and go because they're not gonna stop practice for me. Yeah. Like the day still goes on. Shit still has to get done. Plays still have to be practiced. Like. If you want to be part of the team, like you just still have to do it. So like my coach was pretty cool. I told him as soon as I was like, he was like, hey, do you want like special treatment? Do you want like, you don't have to do all the running if you don't want. I said, no, I want to lead this team. And so I was team captain of the team, and I was there like, he was like, all right, if you want to lead, you better fucking lead. Like you better be the first one on the field, last one off, first one to this, you delegate this. Like, and that's what I did. It's just something, it's always been my personality.
So how was it the first game back? Like,
bro, that shit was beautiful.
What was the score?
Oh, I don't know.
Was it like Rudy, like everybody clapping and stuff?
No, like, because everyone just already knew, like, he's just another fucking player. Right. Like, granted, he's like the team captain, but he's just another fucking player. He's going to get out there. He's going to do his shit. He's going to fuck up sometimes, but as long as he gets his job done, no one cared.
Did you ever lose like your leg in the field or something?
I went for a tackle. And it didn't come completely off, but I definitely was like, oh shit, I can't walk, like, hold on, like, I tapped my helmet, like, I was like, I gotta get out, so, and then, yeah, that happened probably, like,
did they count it, like, as a foul, like, did we accidentally hit, like, another player with it?
No.
Oh, all right. Nah, that'd be pretty cool. Just smack him with it across the helmet or something. Oh no, it fell off. What does it mean? I didn't swing or something like that. All right, well, you know, let's get off that topic, because yeah. So let's talk about synchronicity.
Synchronicity,
right? Okay. So, like, what's the story behind synchronicity?
So, synchronicity is an event I throw. I help throw with my buddy Jaime, and it is, we have live music, we have live art, we have an art gallery, we have food. And then we have local vendors, t-shirt brands, car clubs, jewelry, whatever the fuck that we think is super dope. And that happened because, long story short, as an emerging artist, it's really fucking hard to get shows. You're either paying for play or people are just ignoring you. Yeah. I was like, damn, I'm going to build a platform for my homies to hop on.
Yeah.
And so I was like, well, let me throw shows. And like, everyone throws shows in like LA, downtown, wherever. Not, there's nothing really going on in Wilmington, mm-hmm, or the South Bay. And so I said, fuck it, I'm going to do it. No one's doing it, and I'm going to make it the fucking dopest thing around. And so I collabed with Jaime because he actually, through a mutual friend, he had the same kind of vision, like wanted to throw shows, and he was actually being a promoter for a venue called The Boogie. So he had his foot dabbled in it a little. Mm-hmm. And so we linked up, and I was like, oh, what's your vision? And he was like, vision was just on point with what we wanted to do. We wanted to do it solely in Wilmington. We wanted to have dope artists, dope MCs, dope fucking painters, like local clothing brands. Like, I see you have a sticker on your laptop. Shout out to Unknown Phenom. And so,
oh,
yeah.
Like, oh, aren't you like their ambassador or something like that?
I was doing a lot. I was representing them a lot. Okay. I don't want to say I've stepped away, but I just haven't had like a lot of meetings with Cheddar a lot. But no, I still fuck with the brand 100%.
Yeah.
They're super dope.
I was asking how do you how does the ambassador, like, what's the role of an ambassador
I did is, so I was like, yo, like, so yeah, I actually had that talk with Cheddar. I was like, yo, let me represent Unknown Phenom in the music scene. So wherever I went for a long time, every time I was networking, I had an Unknown Phenom shirt on. I had whether the members only one or I had the other ones, but I always wore it, whether it was their hats or their shirt. I was representing them everywhere, and I was telling them, like, yo, like, you gotta fuck with this brand. Like, this brand is really emerging. It's all about like being dedicated, really just doing your own thing and being fucking dope at it. So he was like, yeah, like, bro, like, do whatever you gotta do. And I was like, fuck it, yeah. So
how did you hear from them? Like, how did you guys link up?
So I met him at the Wilmington Art Walk. And at the time I was managing the artist, and I was like, yo, like, it's gonna be really, it's a good marketing strategy. Like, we fuck with you, you fuck with, we're all from Wilmington. Like, let's try to put on for each other. And so we did that, and then he actually, like, he saw me just doing my business stuff and knew I was in school and knew I knew marketing very well and knew I knew business very well. So we started, like, having, like, weekly meetings at, like, Oha's Tea Shop, and it was, like, we just chopped it up straight about business. Mm-hmm. Stuff that was happening for the artist, stuff that was happening for Unknown Phenom, and we were just continuously dishing it out. And I think a lot of it happened, like, he got a new job, I got more invested into what I'm doing for music, for school, for work, and we just haven't had the meetings. But yeah, it was super dope, super tight. And then from Synchronicity, they had their own booth and they supported it 110%. Like, they made their own flyers and shit and was promoting and marketing that. So that was super tight. Shout out them.
Yeah, they have a good team. I contacted Edder.
Yeah, Cheddar. Yeah.
Cheddar. Yeah, yeah. To see if he wanted to come on, but we'll see. Hopefully in the future we have him on, you know. But yeah, I mean, because I'm trying to help out like the community, like Wilmington. You know, I want to put them on the map a little bit. I don't want, like, everybody assumes Wilmington's a ghetto, you know.
There's so many slept on creatives, yeah, in Wilmington. Yeah, like, I mean, it's crazy.
There's a lot of talent, a lot, like, a big chunk of the people that I have on my the podcast, they're from Carson, Wilmington,
and that's exactly, you know, why we did Synchronicities, because there's so many just artists slept on, and that's what it is. And they're dope, and there's no reason why they couldn't be making a living off of it. And I know there's the Art Walk, and the Art Walk is doing an amazing thing, but I wanted to do something that was like more geared to, like, the people who are, like, 18 to 27, more for that, like go to shows. Like, we had, I'm not promoting marijuana at all, I'm not, but we had people smoking, like, we were pretty friendly with that, with alcohol being served, like, and it was, like, alcohol where you can mingle with everyone, like, you didn't have to go to a beer garden, like, yeah. you fucking take it wherever, right.
So how was the event split, because, I mean, I would imagine that the art has to be one place, and, like,
so the venue we had, shout out Angel, the owner of, damn it, I forgot the restaurant, but shout out Angel. His venue is, it's a hall, and there's a downstairs area, which is like...
Oh, is the teriyaki spot?
No. It's over, it's off of Avalon and G Street. It used to be a med shop and like a pool hall. It's right on the corner, it's right across the street from Santa Fe Seconds.
Okay.
And so, when you enter the door, it's an open area, like a hall. And then all the way up to the left side of the building, there's a stairs going upstairs. And so there's a little, like, loft upstairs. So we had the art gallery up there. We had a little, like, green room with, like, some alcohol for the artists and stuff like that. You go downstairs, there's a stage. And then you walk through the back of the hall to where the parking lot is. And we had all the vendors there. We had the tacos set up in the back. Some more live art out there. And so that was kind of, like, the generic setup. And we had a... artists performing starting at like 4 o'clock, and it went all the way through like 11 o'clock, and doors opened at 3, and so it was tight. We do for the first time throwing it, we had a total of like 350 people pull up, so we were completely blessed.
How many times have you thrown this event? Was that
that was the first one, okay. And we're actually preparing for the next one. It's gonna be November 5th.
Alright.
And yeah, I believe that's the day. Don't mark my words, I'm pretty positive. It's gonna be a Sunday. Sunday, okay. In November, like the very first Sunday.
Yeah, well, for sure, like once I post up this episode, it'll be like on your little description. I'll post it right there, like.
Yeah, it's November 5th. Yeah, I just confirmed that.
Alright, cool. So November 5th, guys, remember, mark it down your calendar.
Synchronicity.
Yeah.
Volume 2.
So like, you mentioned that it was really important, like, you know, trying to help out your homies and stuff. So like, so how did they benefit from the show?
So what was pretty cool is, one, I didn't charge them at all to hop on the stage. I had my homie Rain Raps, who is from LA but he lives in New Hampshire, so he came out for a special one. I had my boy Lala, he's from Washington, and so he came down and did a set. And then we had all the people from Wilmington and Carson and the surrounding South Bay areas, and what they did is they didn't have to pay to play. I just said, come on, drop a set. And then I actually paid everyone. A lot of artists, you don't get paid till you're fucking in the at least 5,000 followers or fans, and like, then you can put a budget on yourself. Mm-hmm. So I hooked them up, and granted, we don't do this for the money. So I was able to pay a few people like $50, $25, shot it around. But dude, that means a lot to an artist to get paid for their work.
Yeah,
because they put a lot of hours into that shit.
Yeah.
So. That was pretty cool. And then they got a platform. They had to perform in front of 300 people. And some of them, it was their very first time performing ever. Yeah. So it was pretty dope.
How did you benefit from this event? Because obviously, like, you mentioned that...
dude, I helped out people. Yeah, dude, that's why I benefited. I helped people. And that's all I wanted to do. Put on a great event for Wilmington, by Wilmington.
How long did you have this vision? Because obviously...
2 years.
2 years?
Actually, at that time, it was like a year and a half. Before, but manifestation. I said it a year and a half ago. I was like, I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna throw these parties. Like, and you can talk to like all the people who was around me at the time. They're like, nah, Steven had this vision and he ended up fucking doing it. Like he said it and he did it and manifested my destiny, and that's what I want to do with my life.
So like, what's the end result for you? Like, what's the big picture? Like, what do you want to be doing?
If you would have asked me 2 months ago, I would have said I want to be an executive at a label.
Uh-huh.
But now I think I still want to do that. I still want to dabble, and I still want to work for a label or a PR firm or something. But eventually I want to own my own company and work for myself and fucking do filthy entertainment. That comes from the Stephen J's Filthy.
Alright. Okay, so let's get into that. Well, what's up with that? Like, with the Stephen J's Filthy, why that?
So,
that's your username, right?
For everything. Right? For Instagram, Twitter, not Facebook, just Stephen Contreras on Facebook.
Okay.
Branding is so important. creating a brand for yourself, creating a brand for your worth. And it originally started with the artists in the group I was managing. They're like, you know, like Filthy Conscious is pretty dope. Like you know what's right and what's wrong. At the end of the day, you make your own decisions. And Filthy is also just pretty tight. Like, damn, this beat is filthy. This thing is fucking sick. Like, are all that whole record or that art piece, damn, that's filthy. Like, it just happened. Kind of was like what I was doing. Then so it was gonna be Filthy Conscious, and that was gonna be like strictly like, at that time I just wanted to like throw shows, because that was in that time where I was like, fuck, I need to create a platform or whatever. But now Filthy Entertainment is gonna be more of like an overall umbrella for everything I want to do, whether it's helping out more with Rarehouse, doing my own shows, more Synchronicity shit, managing artists, whatever it is. Dude, I wanna fuck, like I said, I think we're off air, but I wanna be the man behind the man pulling all the strings. Like,
yeah,
that's what I wanna be doing.
Be like the puppet master
crew. Yeah, exactly.
Not in the negative sense.
No, yeah. Like, I wanna dude, this is gonna sound really cocky because I don't like to do this, but dude, I wanna be the one calling the shots.
Yeah, I mean,
who does? Yeah, exactly.
Like, I wanna be my own boss, you know? Yeah. That's good. I mean, I like your vision. If I could do anything to help, you know, I'm a text or a DM away. Slide on my
slide DMs into DMs. Again. I got you.
They got my social and everything. But who are some of your mentors or role models that you pretty much you want to follow their path? I know exactly. You don't want to be, you know, followed down their footsteps exactly, because you want to build your own path. But like, who are some of your role models? Yeah,
I'd say my number one role model is definitely Pro Welton, the CEO of Create Digital Music. The fact that he's in music, it's very hard to find genuine people that are gonna give you real fucking high quality advice and really care about where you're going, what you're doing. So Pro, he's a great business person, he's a great human being, he's a dope friend. Like Pro is someone who I definitely look up to. He's my mentor. And then the co-founder of iStandard, the other company I work for, Jay Hatch, goes by Mogul Status. He really helped me a lot with like understanding the true importance of branding yourself, branding your worth, creating something that people benefit from, not just a business. So him, and then I'd say my cousin Josh Lafarga, politician out of Long Beach. He's the closest thing I have to a big brother. I'm an only child, and so he's always been there. He's the one I call when I go through my stages of depression. He's the ones that I hear good news. He's the first person I call next to like my girlfriend. And so him, and then last but not least, my parents are my biggest motivation. They have supported me, they have pushed me, they have fucking doubted me, which is how I get a lot of motivation too. But they're the number one and two people who I look up to in this world.
Yeah, like, I was gonna mention earlier, but like, you seem like the type of person that you try to fight adversity, or you like spite, pretty much spite. Dude, like, not I to be fucked
fucking,
up, but like
I fucking
spite.
Love when yeah. people tell me I can't do shit.
Like, spite's what drives me.
Straight
like,
up,
just tell me
like,
I can't
exactly.
do that. Let me show you. Like,
exactly.
Let me prove you wrong, right?
Yeah, dude. And that's dude. I don't even know where that comes from. I think that comes from like my sports mentality. So my dad, he saw the importance of always playing with people who are above you, whether they're older, whether they have more talent. So I was 3 playing with 5-year-olds, and then I was 4 playing with 6-year-olds, and I was 5 playing with 7-year-olds, and stuff like that. So it always was like that. I was always playing with guys 2 grades above me, 2 years above me. And so I was like, fuck it, I don't care what that person says. Like, I'm gonna do it, I'm gonna be as good as them or whatever. And then when the doctor told me, like, oh, you can't do football, fuck you, bro. Fuck you. Watch me.
Yeah,
dude, my doctor's super tight. He's an amazing doctor, an amazing guy, Noah Fetterman, and I would send him pictures, and like, there's a lot of articles written about me when I made my comeback into football, and I would just shoot him these. He was like, you're crazy, kid. Like you gotta chill out. And yeah, so I fucking love when people can't tell me things. Like what was it? It was just recently. I hit up my girlfriend. I was like, just tell me I fucking suck. Just tell me like I'm a piece of shit and that I'm not gonna accomplish it. And of course, she was not like super down to do that.
Yeah.
But after talking to her, she was like, you're better. Or she was like, no. She was like, you're not gonna be better than this person, or you're not gonna be as good as this person. I was like, And I didn't say fuck you, but I was like, thanks. In my head, I was like, fucking watch me.
That's good. I mean, that's good. It's important to have somebody stand behind you, you know? Like,
yeah.
Especially when you question yourself. Like, you always want to have that person. Like,
yeah, she's super supportive. She always tells me my number one fan.
Yeah.
Literally just rides whatever. She's super understanding. Like, that's one thing a lot of girls or even a lot of guys that don't understand about music. It's a full-time thing. Pro told me that music is always going to be your biggest part-time job.
Yeah.
Like, it's never going to be something like, especially like for me, I'm different than a lot of people. So being an amputee, being a cancer survivor, having insurance is, dude, I wouldn't be where I am without insurance. So being able to have really great insurance, it's super important. So like, I need to find that real stable job before I can even venture on my own.
Yeah.
So literally music, it's 24/7. I'm either answering emails or doing like shit like this, like, or going to events and networking. Like, it's constant. And there's times where I don't forget, but I don't hit up my girlfriend for like 8-10 hours, and she's just like, hey, like, how's your day? Hope you're doing good. Yeah. Stuff like that. And
that's good that she understands, you know, like, you guys have the same like mentality. Like, she understands your mentality. She understands, like, you have to do what you gotta do, but at the end of the day, you're doing it for her also, you know.
The future, that's what it's all about.
That's important. You need to have somebody, and I'm happy that you have somebody, because I've heard stories that there's people that I know that, I mean, their girl holds them back a little bit sometimes.
Everyone tells me in music, like, yo, like, girls just get in the way. Like, that's the number one thing. A lot of managers, they'll be like, artists, like, yo, you're not fucking with any girls, you're not gonna bullshit, like, we're going because this is a business, this is your profession, like, focus on this.
Yeah.
And the girls will come later. But dude, like you said, I was blessed with an amazing best friend, an amazing partner, an amazing girlfriend. Like, she's just fucking, she's a goat, she's the dopest thing around.
That's good, man. I'm happy for you. What are some advice that you could give, like, young artists, upcoming, like, talent that, you know, when they want to sign or be they want to be signed to like a label or go to the independent route?
Yeah.
You know, from a PR standpoint or a marketing aspect, you know, like, what's some advice you could give to them?
Create value for yourself. Make, like, so so we live in an extreme era of DIY, meaning you could do it yourself, especially with music. Like the labels, they don't have as much leverage anymore, because there's a, like this is a perfect example. People use, like, back when labels were super important, not everyone had access to these fucking softwares, to these programs, to the actual equipment to record and make music. Dude, it's every day. Like, every day people can create music. It's at the finger, it's at the snap of a finger. Like this stuff, like, you bought your interface just like on Amazon or something, like, super quick, and you bought your mic and you're able to do it. Back then, people couldn't do that with music. And so now that it's at your fingertips, these artists don't have to really take out this loan from a label. Like, as long as they create their value, create their fans, they can sell merchandise, and that's how they can fund themselves. It really just comes down to, do you want to struggle, or do you want to take the quote unquote like easy way out? Because labels will always have the upper hand because they have access to radio, but you take out a loan with them because they got to recoup all that money back. They're gonna put you into a 360 deal right off the bat. And the 360 deal is they take money, a percentage, from every area of your life, whether it's selling merch, whether it's fucking record sales, whether it's you become an actor and they'll take a piece from your acting check, or you sign a sneaker deal, they'll take a piece from that, or whatever it is, they're gonna get their money. So it's like, do you want to do that, or do you want to just grind it out, gain like 100 followers a month, 1,000 followers, like, stuff like that? It's a pretty wild music industry we live in right now. But for young artists, I'd say don't focus on the labels, because the labels aren't going to pay attention to you until you have a value of yourself. Whether your numbers are off the charts for an independent artist, or whether you have a good image, or you have like, even followers aren't really a big important thing. It's like fans, like, how many people are listening to your music, like, how many plays do you have on SoundCloud, how many listens do you have on Spotify, like, stuff like that. Like, are you trending? Do people hashtag you? Do people at you? Like, those are things you have to value. And then, like, like social media is the only true way of marketing nowadays that's like inexpensive. So like an Instagram, like having high quality pictures is dude, that really does make or break you. Because so here's a good general rule. So like pictures are good, high quality pictures or video, high quality pictures are better. Video is better than a picture. A video with sound and subtitles is better, and then a high quality music video or whatever, or like segment is the best. So it's just that progression of like investing into yourself to create this good online presence.
Dang.
Yeah, it is. There's a lot. There's formulas to this shit, yeah. But there's no directions of how to do it. Like you have to create what works for you.
So how long have you been going to school? Because I mean, I feel like this is what you're learning about, right, in school. Like how long? Okay, how long do you have left? Like in school.
Fuck. So I graduated high school in 2012, and right out of high school, I went to the University of Colorado Boulder. I studied integrative physiology. So because I was super into sports, I was personal training back then. So I did that, and then when I came back from Colorado, because I was having too much fun out there, to be honest. Okay. I wasn't focusing on school. So when I came back, I went to Cerritos for like a semester, got some general eds out the way. And then when I really decided to do this music thing 2 years ago, I was like, all right, I'm fucking doing this. But I've always gone to school full time, meaning 12 credits, but I've never only done school. I'm always working. I've always had a job. I've never been unemployed. Like, it's just who I am. I don't like being uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I think like if I had more time to donate to school, maybe do like 18 units or like whatever, I'd be a little bit further. But as of right now, I have one more semester after this current fall semester. Uh-huh. I only have to take statistics and micro econ, and then I'll be done.
Wow.
But I have everything. So I have a general business admin essentials certificate. I have a marketing certificate. I have an entrepreneur certificate. I just don't have my AA. So I have two additional classes after this semester to get my AA in business admin.
What's the next step after that? What are you?
I'm gonna take a year off and try to establish like a career, whether it's like I said, working for that label or working for a PR firm. I'm gonna do that, and then after that 1 year is up, I'm gonna go to Dominguez Hills, and I'm gonna study PR for sports and entertainment. And then so they have a really solid program there. So I'm probably gonna do that, or go into the music business program at Northridge.
Oh wow!
Yeah, both of those schools are pretty good. They're pretty local. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Wow. Well, I mean, good luck on everything you do, but. You know what? Hopefully, you guys could attend Synchronicity. I'm gonna let you give out your social media right now. Let people know where they can find you, where they can find your events. You know, if they're interested, I'm maybe taking some of the classes, like where they could maybe
for Warehouse. Yeah,
yeah. You know, give out your social media. I'll let you know on my phone real quick.
So I'm gonna be all my social media handles. So I am mainly only Twitter and Instagram is Stephen J is Filthy. So it's Stephen J I S Filthy. You find me there, and then you should also follow these other accounts. Warehouse is going to be at A Very Rare Shop, and then follow Create Digital Music at Create DigManPub. It's Create Digman Pub. And then the last one is going to be Conscious Radio. Damn. Definitely follow Conscious Radio. 100. Go do that right now. Stop what you're doing. Fucking log into Instagram and Twitter and follow Conscious Radio at Conscious Radio. On Twitter is going to be at Conscious Radio 1.
All right.
And yeah. And all if you want to get involved with Warehouse, come to an event, pull up, slide in the DMs, go to the website, averyrareshop.com, and get involved, man. Better your community. 100%. Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, this is the part where the interview went a little serious, I guess. So, you know, this is really my part. This is the part where I try add some comedy, I guess, or some excitement, a little bit of excitement, like not too serious. I don't like to be serious myself. So as you could tell by the podcast, I try to make jokes here and there. But I like to play a game called Sevens. Originally, this game was made for Never Not Funny, the Never Not Funny podcast. I like to give them credit because it's not mine. It's not my app.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I like to give credit to what credit is due. You know,
definitely,
theirs. I don't want to care. I don't want you guys to think that I made it or, you know, it was made for me. It's made for them. Just in case you guys want to download it, you know, it's the 7th. That's it. So how you play the game? Yeah, easy, right?
Yeah.
So basically, it's 7 questions. You have 7 seconds to answer each question. I'm going to let you pick the genre. Right now, I'm going to tell you the genres. But the purpose of it is at the end of the year, The high score is going to... I'm going to give them something, pretty much. I'm going to give them either a hat
or something.
Yeah. I'm going to give them either a hat, one of my hats. If you're interested in getting a hat, slide on my DMs real quick. You know? Yeah, as you're listening to the podcast, tell me how much you enjoyed the podcast. And, you know, I like to hear it. I'm a little cocky, I guess, so full of myself.
Give them that feedback.
Yeah, whatever. Doesn't even matter. I don't even know I was going to that. But yeah, so basically, at the end of the year, at the end of the year, I'm gonna give them some merchandise, either a hat. I'm thinking of a fat head of myself signet sign. I mean, right now in the Egyptian room, I see a lot of like Sphinx.
Yeah, Sphinx, right?
So a lot of Sphinx all over. I see myself
hieroglyphics,
you know?
And shit.
I see my face in one of them, and I'm just throwing that out there. You know, hey, you don't have to do it, but if you win, you know, I expect it to be somewhere. You know, so yeah, so far, the high score is by Byron with 22. You know,
okay.
So hopefully you beat 22.
So I like a challenge. Okay. So I want you to pick the category.
What?
Yeah. So I might get 40 points. I might get 2. Whatever it is, like, let's do this.
Now, you know, I can't do that because if I pick one, I'm gonna go for one that I know I'm gonna be good at. So the whole point is you have to guess. You have to you have to pretty much assume that I'm going to be good at a category.
Okay.
Because if I choose it, then it's going to be super easy for you. Because I'm going to be able to give you pretty much the clues, you know?
Okay. I got you. All right.
So for the listeners, I'm going to run through all the genres.
Let's pick like 5.
Just 5 of them?
Yeah, just 5.
At random?
Yeah.
All right. So general, music, food. That's 4. Animals.
General, music, food, animals. One more.
And let's do movie, comedy. You know what? Let's do food. Fuck it.
All right, food.
Yeah, we're going to do food, guys, because I suck. it's made out of, this is a protein that it's dried.
Dried protein. Protein powder. Fucking beef jerky.
This is an Italian plate food. It's served on a tray. It has pasta, marinara, meat.
Pass. I have no idea.
Yeah, this is it rhymes with bone. It's a
bon appetit. No, I don't know. It's fucking retarded.
It's a dessert. It's made out of this
souffle, dude. I'm not a foodie.
Yeah, you know. Yeah. Fuck. Why is it so hard today?
That's what she said.
Yeah. All right, we're going to do general now.
All right, let's do general.
Not tall, but?
Small, short.
What we used to connect into social media?
iPhone, app, Twitter, Instagram, USB, no. I don't know.
when you're unpopular, you're?
When you're unpopular, you're popular?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, you just mentioned it. It's a type of social media. It's a bird.
Twitter.
Room, room, room.
Motorcycles.
You eat this in the morning. It's the first
breakfast.
Meal.
Breakfast.
If you're from outer space, you're on?
Alien.
That's it.
Tight.
All right, 23. So you're tied with Byron right now.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, no. We said 22. Actually, you got the highest score.
Hey, that's what's up. All right,
so like I said, look for a fathead coming your way.
Sure.
We still got a couple months.
Put
a couple
that shit
episodes.
Right in my room.
All right, cool. I don't think your girl would like it, but hey, whatever you want,
it's
man.
It's always cool when people watch, bro.
All right, cool. Hopefully, she sees what you're not. So, you know, like, oh, man, at least she's not that ugly. She looks at you, you know? All right, guys. Well, I'm going to give my social media. You can find me at Let Me Know Pod on Instagram and Facebook. If you have any questions, if you have any suggestions, maybe you're an artist and you want to be featured, send me an email at letmeknowpod@gmail.com. Also what I'm doing now is if you're an artist, you do music.
Yo, yeah.
And you want to be I usually open up the show with some music, right? If you want to be featured, you want to be the song that gets played in between the segments, just send me where I could find your music. And if I'm not like straight up, I'm not looking to pay for it because I don't get any money. So if you're looking, this is strictly for publicity. This is strictly to get your music.
All aspiring artists should try to get their shit everywhere. And since we're on the topic of artists, if you do have music, shoot it to me, StephenJIsFilthy@gmail.com. Shoot it to Conscious Radio, Conscious Radio, Conscious.Radio1@gmail. And then if you're looking for some solid distribution, my email is content@createdigitalmusic.com. And then producers for iStandard, StephenJ@iStandardProducers.com.
All right.
There you go.
That's it?
Yep.
All right, cool. All right, guys. Well, I have a hat. Obviously, you guys know by that clue, you know what's coming. At the end, I like to close it out with the riddle. So the purpose for the riddle is I want you guys to, you know, interact with me. This is for you guys. So pretty much all you have to do is answer the riddle by DMing me the answer. But before you do all that, you have to screenshot the picture, post it, tag me and a friend. Text Steven while you're at it, you know. Let him know that you heard the episode. All right, and at the end of the week, I guess how it runs is, when I post this episode, the contest, that's when it starts. Until the end of the week, that's when it ends. Once I post a new episode, that's when that riddle is no longer accepted. The answer for that riddle is no longer accepted. All you gotta do is DM me the answer. Like I said, tag a friend, tag me. And that's it. You guys are in the running to win yourself a hat, you know, a beautiful hat. I made it myself, so of course it's beautiful. All right, guys. So the riddle is, I am heavy forward, but backwards I'm not. All right, guys. Well, that's it. Thank you, Steven. Thank you for coming. Thank you, guys. You know, I appreciate everything you do, and thank you for letting me part of your day. Bye. Posted up right where I plan to be. We out here in this gangery.